can't believe it's Monday already.
It's my favorite day of the week. I get wrestling, my Pittsburgh Penguins won today, and I get to do Mid-Card All-Stars Radio with my co-host and one of the sexiest men out there, Big Danny Bennett.
Yep.
That's what's up. And I'm Mark Nestico. We're here to bring you the best in live wrestling radio. Danny, hit him with that phone number in case some
folks live. Folks, 646-564-9866. If you would like to call in, talk about anything wrestling related, we're open.
The number is literally on the page that you're looking at, but we've got a lot to cover today. As you know, last night was Payback, and we had Raw tonight. We had some pretty sick, nasty debuts at NXT that, spoiler alert, WWE already tweeted out, so I guess it's not that bad of a spoiler. But lots of interesting things this week have happened. The product is turning around. Yesterday was the kickoff of the new era. And if you're a fan of Irony, no member of the new era roster won a match yesterday. So that's good. That's a good way to start things off.
Yes, sir.
So, like, remember when WWE did the new generation back in the 90s? And that'd be like Ahmed Johnson coming out for his first match and getting beaten by the Brooklyn Brawler. And they're like, all
right. Right. Well. Buddy Landell in your house.
Yeah. Yep. The Heavenly Bodies have just defeated the Road Dog Jesse James and the Badass Billy Gunn. Rough.
We're throwing out Jim Cornette with a tennis racket. I mean, we're throwing all sorts of good shit out of you.
Absolutely.
But we had a good pay-per-view last night. We had a very good Raw again tonight, which this is weeks in a row that we have had good Raws.
Yes.
Is it safe to say
they're on fire? Like NBA Jam style on fire.
I don't think that you realize I'm a wrestling fan. I need something to bitch about. I'm supposed to be upset. I'm a trick ass Mark. I'm supposed to be upset about something.
That's right. You listen to Bubba Ray Dudley.
And I'm saving it for the end of the show. So for those of you that are listening now, you're going to have to stick with us the whole hour because I do have a little rant that I'm going to go on. It's probably the only thing that I can complain about right now, but maybe, hopefully I'm jumping the gun and I'm just complaining for the sake of complaining. After all, I am a white male living in America. It's my duty to complain about things that probably don't need to be whined about. But at the end of the show, after we discuss Raw's main event tonight, there will be a little tangent. So you have that to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it.
Danny doesn't know it's coming.
I am totally in the dark about this. This is Mark arriving behind the stage in the secret limo that nobody knows before Raw.
TMZ said that I'm going to be there at Payback. I really wasn't. I just happened to be in the same town.
You know what I like about what they're doing with Seth Rollins is how he's showing up at every single Raw and every single pay-per-view, and people keep tweeting it. Oh, Seth Rollins has showed up here. He's coming back tonight. I love that they're doing that because, hey, it does kind of get me excited too. But it's like it works because he's at all of these places. So it's not like, oh, he's not there, he's not there, he's not there. Oh, he's there. Guess what? He's coming out tonight.
Yeah, but they're saving him. It's going to be something special.
Yeah. It keeps that level of, you know, spontaneity and surprising that. And it's nice because there's not a lot of that left in a lot of things in life, but especially in wrestling, you know, with all the different dirt sheets and social media avenues and outlets and things like that. So I like that. It's a nice touch.
Well, one of the things that did come out of nowhere that fans were not ready for, we'll just start off with this.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the RKO of announcements this week. a gentleman from TNA, you may know him as Eric Young, debuted at the NXT tapings. Apparently he came out and interrupted one of Samoa Joe's segments. I think it's great how NXT has become TNA with better booking, better storylines, and just all the cream, you know, all the cream of the crop. There's no nonsense. It's like we took all your best guys. They're like Blade, man. They've got all of their strengths, none of their weaknesses. They are the Daywalker of wrestling, man, and they're absolutely doing the right thing. They're bringing in guys like Bobby Roode, as Christy Hemme would say, and Eric Young. It's only a matter of time till I get EC3's ass up in there. I'm so excited.
He was already there.
No, he's coming back. He's
and they did nothing
awesome
with him.
Bullshit, they won't. It's going to be great. I can feel it in my bones. It's only a matter of time till Dixie Carter can't keep her hand up his ass anymore and treat him like a puppet. Your franchise is gone. When he leaves, they're done. That's the end of TNA. That will be the death knell.
Oh, Matt Hardy's world champion. Don't worry about it.
The hell he will be. Nope. Nope. Ain't happening. She's got like some voodoo curse on EC3, but I know it. When he's gone, then TNA is finished. And you think that I would be upset about that because I'd be like, oh, man, shoot. There's less competition out there. No, I'm not upset about it because something will fill that vacuum anyway. Jeff Jarrett's promotion, Global Force Wrestling, something will. But Eric Young debuting it's indicative of two things. One, I hate wrestling fans because when he won the World Heavyweight Championship at TNA, everybody was like, screw that. I hate that. That's dumb. They're capitalizing.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he has a beard. Eric Young has a beard. That's why we did it, blah, blah, blah. And then Eric Young debuts in NXT and everybody all of a sudden is a huge TNA mark. Eric Young is here. The promised land. Woo!
Yep.
Moses has led his people through the desert. Like, it's nonsense. So if you're one of those people that used to talk shit about Eric Young winning the TNA World Heavyweight Championship or you're celebrating him in NXT, shame on you. And it goes for me too. Even I rolled my eyes. Yeah. Even I rolled my eyes whenever it happened then. But glad to see Eric Young in NXT. I can't wait to see the program they're going to work out with him and hopefully Samoa Joe because it looks like Finn Balor might be getting that call up a little bit sooner than we had anticipated.
You never know. It'll be
interesting. I can't wait to see how long it takes him to crawl down that ramp.
Can you imagine a WrestleMania of Finn Balor versus The Undertaker? Like it's going to run until midnight again then. Because it's going to be an hour-long process for both of those guys to get to the ring. Which I'm fine with because they're both epic.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. But good news for NXT. Another great acquisition. It's only a matter of time until James Storm comes crawling back and they form Beer Money in TNA. Beer Money from TNA in NXT. So we have that to look forward to.
I can't wait. I've wanted that forever. Beer Money in WWE.
It's going to happen. They're tailor-made for it. Lots of good tag team things, which we're going to be talking about soon, too. But Payback happened. We'll just love our Raw Radio. Try saying that five times fast. After all, after Raw. Try just five times fast. Go.
After Raw Radio?
No, after all, after Raw. But you got to say both of them.
After all, after Raw, after all, after Raw. Yeah. No. Nope.
You suck. Botches galore, botchamania.
I had one job.
And we both failed at it. But the big news from the Payback from last night was, of course, the injury, the concussion of Enzo Amore. It looked like this wasn't anybody's fault. I mean, the knee-jerk reaction is to say that Gotch threw him a little late into the ropes. But it just seemed like the timing was off for both guys. Enzo Amore basically was clipped by the rope and his head snapped back into the mat. I, honest to God, and I'm not saying this like in hyperbole, I thought he was dead. When he hit the ground, he wasn't moving and his eyes were wide open and he was just still as the night. And I was like, we just saw somebody die on live television.
I have the tweet, or I'm sorry, the Facebook message from Mark. If you don't believe it, it's true.
I thought he was dead. I thought he was dead. And, you know, God bless him. He's not. He's fine. He's already been released. He was at the Raw taping today. So, thankfully, Enzo Amore should be back soon after he passes his impact testing. But this sort of opened things up a little bit in a very interesting way at Raw tonight, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But it's pretty clear from the way that this looked that the Vaudevillains were not supposed to win this match. And
correct.
Now the Vaudevillains are moving into Extreme Rules as the number one contender, which the onus is on them now. I mean, it's always sad when a team like Enzo and Cass, you know they're getting the push, you know they're going straight to the moon, you want to put them in a program with the New Day, you know, specifically. It has gold and money written all over it. But it's now the Von Villains' time to step up and sort of take the reins just a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure somebody in the back said, you know, it wasn't supposed to work out this way, but now you guys are in the position, so what can you do with it? And I'd like to think that they're going to deliver.
And it's, you know, it's that whole next man up mentality. And that actually, like, in the grand scheme of things, Enzo getting knocked out and kind of pushing them back could be one of the best things to happen to both teams, to be honest. As over as Enzo and Cass are, you know, we've talked about it in previous shows, there's going to be some sort of backlash if they beat New Day, because I mean, New Day's kind of like untouchable when it comes to the crowd. But the Vaudevillains are playing, they're playing their character, they're playing the heel role very well. But this also now gives them a chance to show that, hey, we are major players here as well. So, you know, even though we weren't supposed to win this match and supposed to challenge for the titles, you need to keep us up here because, you know, we can, you know, quote unquote, keep up with the Joneses and fight for these titles and actually challenge and look like legitimate contenders.
I agree with you. It puts a very interesting spotlight on different tag teams. One of the cooler things that I kind of heard was, you know, when you look back to like the New Age Outlaws and you try to remember, you know, who beat the New Age Outlaws for their tag team championships?
That's a great question.
This is, and we're encyclopedic when it comes to it. And off the top of my head, I mean, if you gave me a few minutes, I'm sure I could remember. But
I think LOD beat them once.
I believe that was their LOD 2000.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, the team of that generation was the New Age Outlaws, and it's very difficult to put a face on the teams that were able to defeat them. I think what's great about Vaudevillain stepping up a little bit, Enzo and Cass stepping up, the Dudleys had a little bit of a program tonight as well, and whoever else they may bring in eventually, whether it be Beer Money or somebody like that, you're putting faces to these tag teams. The New Day is so over. They're so ridiculously over. They're just beyond comparison to anything else in that division. It's like they're the Hulk Hogan in a division full of Brutus the Barber beefcakes. You know, like it's just completely – nobody else touches them in terms of fan reaction. And, you know, I feel bad to say that, you know, for teams like the Usos or the Wyatts who have put in a lot of time and effort. But at the same time, that's just how the ball bounces and that's how big New Day is. You need to have a team that is just as big as they are. Beat them for the belt if you want it to be memorable and if you want it to mean something and if you want to increase the prestige in that division. So one thing that I like about this is kind of like what you said. With Enzo going down, it opens things up. So, okay, we'll say New Day retains at Extreme Rules. Enzo has passed his impact test by then. It gives them a massive, you know, generation of positivity whenever Enzo comes back. You know, we were going to be the number one contenders, blah, blah, blah. And they can enter into a program with the New Day from there. I think it's a silver lining on a dark cloud for Enzo Amore right now. But you could see something very special come from it.
Yeah, how good was that promo by Cass, too? Cass can hold his own.
You're telling me, man. That was probably the biggest surprise of the night for me. When I saw him come out there and just drop that promo. And it was like, you know, I felt great seeing it happen. It was good for him across the board.
I was very happy for him, and I like that he got the rub by tagging with New Day.
Yeah, and he got the finish, which, you know, this obviously was a slightly bigger segment than you know, just, oh, hey, Cass got the finish. So we'll be touching on that in a few. But, hey, Cass really came out into his own tonight as somebody who's usually looked at as the heavy in the group and the one that spouts the, you know, sort of like the Billy Gunn, the if you don't like it, we got two words for you, or I've got one word for you, you know, and spells it out. I think that was a great level of transcendence for him to sort of have the guys in the back go, okay, well, Enzo might be out, but we've got this diamond in the rough now, and we can really turn this guy into something special. So huge props to Big Cass for doing that. And props to, you know, to the Vaudevillains as well for selling a pretty grim situation. But also at Payback, we got Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. They stole the entire show, hands down. Just an absolutely gorgeous match. Done very well from top to bottom. It was really nice to see these two come together. And it looks like they're going to continue their program as well, which we sort of learned a little bit on Raw. So great match from them. Cesaro gets beat by Miz. Surprise.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't either.
I mean, I love Maurice.
Yep.
Dean Ambrose and Jericho was pretty good. I did not hate that.
No, I mean, you can't hate it. Like the matches that they're creating between the wrestlers themselves. I mean, they're damn good matches. The builds, like we said, you know, last week. The builds going into Payback were better than the build-ups going into WrestleMania.
I agree. I think that is correct. And it's actually going past that now, too. The way that it looks, you know, with Chris Jericho and Dean Ambrose, we'll probably be getting an Extreme Rules match, which is something very interesting to me because I'd love to see Dean Ambrose in that capacity. We did get the Montreal Screwjob, the sequel, starring Charlotte and Natalya.
Little Nate.
With Little Nate's Charles Robinson, who talks like a Georgia peach.
Yep.
Were you in cahoots with my dad? Well, yes, I was. I mean, no, I wasn't. Damn it, Charles.
Instead of Georgia peach, or is that Fat Albert?
Fat Albert is... No, that's completely different. The regular
Fat Albert voice sounds like that.
Nah, you just being crazy. You just crazy. But, you know, a good match between Natty and Charlotte. They're really telling a story here. I think the most damning part of this is what the crowd chants every time there's a women's match. We want Sasha. We want Sasha.
She's not even on. What is
You know, well, word it, well, she's in a little SmackDown feud with Summer Rae. And, you know, like it's goofy to me. It makes no sense because of how, you know, dramatic the crowd is when it comes to dealing with her. Everybody wants her out here. They would love to see Sasha in a bigger program. Word is she's not very happy with the situation, that she's not being utilized, but that WWE has, you know, huge plans for her and that they're kind of protecting her by keeping her off television right now, sort of trying to, like, build this becoming a problem down the line. It's just the Charlotte with Ric Flair thing is just so played out. Like we get it, you know, it's run its course, you know, it's been going on for the better part of 4 or 5 months now. And it's just, okay, we get it. Like, yep, they're going to cheat every single match. If she's going to lose the match, nature is going to grab somebody's leg and pull them out of the ring. We get it. Like that. It's the same thing every match over and over again. Let's just move on from it. The two dark matches, you know, that were earlier in the evening, Ziggler and Baron Corbin, with Ziggler getting the roll-up win, and Baron Corbin, a member of the new era, not winning his match. Okay. Cool. Just won the Andre Memorial Battle Royale, and
told you that means nothing. Told you it doesn't mean nothing.
And then Ryback. Getting put down like Old Yeller, Kalisto with the 1-2-3 for the what I believe is the United States Championship. Still, I don't know if that's what they're calling it anymore, but that's what it is.
So, who knows?
Sorry, guys. Sorry, you guys. Know,
I want to touch a moment on the women's title debacle with Ric Flair interfering. I was really hoping that with all the changes and stuff that they're going to do, that this was going to eventually lead into a women's cage match to keep Ric Flair out. I was really hoping that. And I don't think we're going to get that.
We're getting a banning. Stephanie confronting Ric Flair and Charlotte at Raw saying, "You are banned from ringside."
Yeah.
So now Charlotte will have to stand on her own. And beat Natty the clean 1-2-3 way. So, hey, anything could happen, and it's possible that Natty actually gets the steal on this. I wonder what the Vegas odds are for that one going forward.
Natty's deserved that title for 8 years.
Yep. She's a heart. And you know what? She goes out there. She puts on great matches. She does good promos. And I don't understand why there's, you know, there's just so much bouncing around for her.
She's even dressing kind of the part. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the last year or so, she's stopped wearing the super covering up attire. And she started wearing a little more revealing stuff, which is against the grain for her. But, I mean, you know, she's obviously trying to, like, get noticed by whoever. Like, I don't know if it's Vince or the bookers or I don't know. But she's trying to get, like, hey, guys, don't forget about me. Like, I've been here forever.
Yeah.
I've been, you know? Poor Natty.
Poor Natty. Womp, 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 womp. So let's talk about Raw tonight, because that's why you're here, because we are after Raw Radio, after all.
Right.
See, that's how you say it, so you don't get all mush-mouth. Ah!
Noted.
So show kicks off tonight with Stephanie and Shane O'Mac. They are, it's a sign of unity, because last night at Payback, Vince McMahon said, you know what, you two are going to run Raw, in a segment that ran at least 11 minutes too friggin' long. It was definitely the black hole of the show. You got all this energy going forward, and then they're just like, here's a 15-minute promo. And I almost never say that about McMahon promos, but it was a Raw promo, had no business being on Payback. It would have been just nice if you went out there and just said it. But surprisingly enough, no brand split, which is what everybody was expecting going forward.
I mean, there's still a possibility for that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure down the line they're going to start arguing with each other too much, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to get separated.
Somehow leading into Survivor Series, get the Raw versus SmackDown match.
See, I would love that. But Stephanie, in a very nice token gesture, she gives Shane the picture that Vince McMahon stepped on a few weeks ago, and she put it in a new frame. And that is just beautiful. That is tear-jerking television. I almost cried.
She needs to win an Emmy.
You know, nobody from WWE has ever won an Emmy.
Has anybody from WWE ever been nominated for an Emmy?
No, I don't think so.
Somebody look that up
and
tweet me.
You know, they nominate, like, daytime, I guess for the daytime Emmys. They'll, like, nominate people in soap operas. WWE is the biggest soap opera ever on television.
Right, but also, I mean, you have, like, sportscasters and stuff that are nominated. Like, Charles Barkley has an Emmy.
Can we just give Enzo Amore a friggin' Emmy? Whatever.
Already.
Screw the Academy. We'll make our own. We'll make the Slammies even more, explosive.
Yay.
The SOBs. But they are interrupted by Kevin Owens, who pops out, and he's like, listen, I never got my Intercontinental Championship title rematch. I want it. I want it now. Why can't I have it? And they're like, sorry, but here's Cesaro for you. So.
And out comes Jason Statham, and we have a first epic match of the night.
My name is Chet Chelios. I'm the transporter. I don't know. Like, I can't do a very good Jason Statham. His entrance is much sweeter now than it used to be, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is pretty
good. At one point, did you ever feel that you would be as excited to watch a man rip off his entire clothing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been to Mardi Gras. So, yeah, I can say that I have. But this is just a setup match, which is what we got with this. You know, Cesaro gets the win via DQ. But the story here is that Sami Zayn comes out and Sami Zayn stands tall and, just bashes Owens with the Helluva kick and gets to hold the belt up and just poses. And that's it right there. That's where we're at. So I'm thinking Extreme Rules is almost going to be a fatal four-way for the championship. And I'm thinking it's going to be Kevin Owens and
Miz and Cesaro and Zayn, and they're going to go to town. It's going to be a solid, you know, Ring of Honor-esque match, except for Miz. He's going to try real hard.
But you know what? At the same time, Miz is still not a bad worker.
No, he's not.
His booking is just freaking awful, and his character is played out.
Hey.
Although his character has been refreshed now that Maryse is back.
Babe girl's back. So after a good way to rev up the show, good, like, this is what they've been doing now, good quick promos to kick the show off, segueing, it's not taking 25 minutes anymore, and then they jump right into, you know, a good match with two good solid workers, usually Kevin Owens involved somehow. We get, like, promo. And you get hit with Dean Ambrose saying, oh, you're going to be on the Asylum tonight. And then we move into Tyler Breeze and R-Truth. They're a tag team now. The Gorgeous Truth or whatever, some nonsense like that, going up against Fandango and Goldust. I'm a grown man saying this shit, by the way, folks.
How awesome was that entrance?
Just so we're clear. I'm a grown man. Danny is a grown man, and we're talking about a guy with gold face paint doing the stanky leg.
And marking out to it.
That's where I'm at this point in my life. It's been a rough week for me. But so later on in the night, we're going to get Tyler Breeze versus Goldust. The thing that just baffles me the most is that 21 years later, I'm still calling Goldust matches.
Oof. Yeah.
Feels good.
True.
Dustin Rhodes, you are a machine. You are an absolute gem. 21 years later, I am talking about Goldust.
Still.
Can we bring back Marlena, please?
I don't think either of them want her back.
I don't think they do either. You're right. When I see anytime I see a Goldust promo, I feel like I'm just lucky to be alive. I'm like, you know, I'm getting ready to start DDP yoga too. I'm like, if he can do it and it can fix his back, it can fix mine. Really excited.
Yeah. What you know what's funny is so watching this promo, first of all, it's hilarious. R-Truth was funny with the actual selfie stick. And I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, okay, this is funny. I'm like, but why are they giving this so much time? Because it's not like they're gonna make Goldust and R-Truth any sort of legitimate tag team. You know what I mean? It's not like they're gonna have them challenge for the titles.
No chance.
It's not like Booker T and Goldust. Yeah, they were actually tag team champions at one point. Now that also is but that's also partly as a result of not having any tag teams at that time outside of like the Hardy Boys. No, not the whole time. Cornbread, damn it.
It's nice to reminisce. It's good. So we got that matchup coming up later, and that's nice. And then we go into another one with AJ Styles telling Anderson and Gallows, you know, hey, I don't need you guys to help me. And then Roman saying, like, yeah, you got your friends. Can you beat me and my family? And that's every Roman Reigns segment now. And here we are. This is your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, ladies and gentlemen.
Guy booed out of the building. I could feel the booze in my chest.
It's unreal. Like, it's, I don't know. This is the slowest slow burn in wrestling history. This is just, you know, this would be like if, you know,
is it going to be a slow burn?
It'd be like if The Undertaker randomly just came out and was like, you know what, I didn't burn down my parents' house. And everybody was like, why did it take you 17 years to tell us this? And he's like, ha, slow burn, gotcha.
Right.
Just like,
that
it,
would
it's
be
like,
more
it
appealing.
Has no impact anymore. Like, whenever he turns heel, people aren't going to be like, yeah, he's a heel. People are going to be, it's going to be like orgasming. You've been doing it for like 45 minutes. You just want to finish, and then you finally. Yep, you're gonna have to edit this out. And then you finish, and then you're like, oh, thank God, it took forever, but I got to the finish line. That's what this is.
I agree.
Listen, you want views, you want listens. This is how you get listens. You gotta talk. You gotta speak to the people on their level. They like that.
We hate Roman Reigns too.
And here's the thing. When we used to do the show a while ago, we loved Roman Reigns. I loved him. I was like, this guy is the future. When he almost won the Royal Rumble, I was freaking out like a child. I was like, this is it.
That's right.
Like, this
That's
is
right.
Guy. Like, you know, he's a monster face, but he's like a badass, and he's just going out there, and he's punching people in the head over and over again. And, you know, when he wrestled Lesnar, I was like, hey, great showing. He lost, but, you know, he can do this down the line. Like, this guy's got a legitimate future. He's going to just be so great. And it's like WWE's got, like a four-year plan with them. They're like, nope, Roman is a face for at least one more year. You know, like, why can't we change that? And they're like, nope, because it doesn't stick to the plan.
Right.
You can't deal with it. Like, but we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. There's a rant coming later.
Ooh.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I got shivers.
It was just a taste. But anyhow, so we got Tyler Breeze versus Goldust, which literally was Tyler Breeze getting hit in the face once, and then Goldust doing more stanky leg, and then Tyler Breeze rolling him up for the 1-2-3. That was the whole match. It was
At
awesome.
Least Tyler Breeze had a win.
Tyler Breeze breaking that 43 match loss streak is apparently he lost 43 in a row.
Bam.
As pointed out on Twitter.
By him.
43. Not even that many.
Son of a enjoying his paycheck, so.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be mad if I was him. I mean, it's like Elias Sampson. Before Elias Sampson became, sort of like I don't want to say upper card, you know, player that he is at NXT, but certainly, you know, better off than he was. I think Elias Sampson, the thing was like he lost like his first 85 or 86 matches.
Jeez.
Like from top to bottom, like from his first match to the first match that he won, he had in between lost like 80 some matches.
Well, isn't that an awful streak? That's like what Bray Wyatt won last year. So
I love Elias Sampson, FYI. For those of you that are fans of NXT, I love Elias Sampson. I'm all in on the Drifter. I think he's great.
I like him. I do. I don't know how he'll translate it to the main roster, but I like him.
Oh, he won't. Or he's not gonna translate to the main roster. you might have grabbed the stickers on that one, but it's gonna be a while. He's gonna be down there for a while. Nice long while. But
not myself.
Yeah, right. Sorry. So the next segment was the bigger tag team segment. This was the New Day discussing what had happened to Enzo Amore, only to be interrupted by the Vaudevillains who came down. And very nice little bit of promo work done by them. I really like seeing Aiden English work. Aiden English, we all know, is very good on the mic. And saying, you know, it's a tragedy what happened to Enzo Amore, but, you know, a real man would have gotten up from that. And Simon Gotch, you know, saying, you know, that he's the realest guy in the ER. How are you doing? You know, like, good heel promo work. And it's funny because, like, those guys were very, very over in NXT as faces. And
right.
They just came up and just immediately were able to switch it back on to being heels. And they got over as faces sort of organically, like the way that the New Day did. Just people really liked their gimmick. They were bad guys, but people thought they were fun. And
right.
They ended up being, you know, a face team and winning and take over Brooklyn in very dramatic fashion, being Blake and Murray or Murphy's are. And so I like seeing them in this role. I think they make great heels. And they're interrupted by the Dudleys who come out and they're like, you know, you didn't beat anybody. You didn't finish. You're not real number one contenders because the refs called the match.
I thought they were turning again.
I think they kind of did in a weird way, but then they didn't. It was like a double turn. Because all they did was just clown the heel team that came out. But then to save the segment, I don't want to say save because this is actually a pretty good segment, but Big Cass comes out, drops some sick-ass promo work, and it becomes a four-on-four tag team matchup, New Day and Big Cass versus Vaudevillains and Dudleys. And I thought this was a great match. Again, this is another instance I wish I had something to bitch about. But this was a very well worked match, really nice back and forth, and some false finishes, a pretty nice hot tag, and you get Big Cass putting I don't even know the name of the move. What's it, the East River Crossing? Is that what they called it?
Yep, East River Crossing.
The East River Crossing on Devon, and gets the 1-2-3. So some redemption for Cass all around. He gets the finish in a big name tag team 4-on-4. He gets the promo that I'm sure somebody in the back patted him and said, "Good job. That was, you know, excellent work out there tonight." And the faces, you know, get the 1-2-3.
When I was telling you before we went on the air, I liked how they made a point to put over Enzo and Cass even before the match started, you know, and they had just kept, you know, they were just continuously talking about Enzo Amore and putting them over, and, you know, whether it was New Day or it was the Vaudevillains, or I don't think the Dudleys put them over. Actually, yeah, the Dudleys pretty much did too. You know, you didn't beat anybody. The referee stopped the match because of an accident. So, you know, I liked that, because what that did is that, to me anyway, is that totally solidified them as like, hey, these guys are major players that they're not, he's not even involved in this currently. And that's what we're going to do, is we're going to make sure that you guys remember and know that they are supposed to be here. And I really enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, even Bubba saying something on Twitter, basically like responding to a fan calling him a smart mark, saying it's people like you who threw this up for everybody. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes these kinds of things just happen. And, you know, even then, you know, it's been kind of a week for that. Like, even Tyler Breeze, you know, like somebody made a comment to Tyler Breeze about booking, and Tyler Breeze was like, the only people that use phrases like what you're using right now are people that think they're in the know, like, but they're not. You know, it's been definitely the week of like wrestlers telling fans, like, stop trying to suck the fun and magic out of it and start just watching the product. Like you know, hey.
And then Xavier Woods had that tweet too.
I feel,
you know, don't talk about, you know, don't be disrespectful to us or to our fans and call it fake. You know, that's
especially
not what we're
when
about.
You see somebody like that happen with Enzo. I mean, that's concussions. That's, you know, that's real. That is not fake. There was no ha-has, got-ems. That was a legitimate injury, and they happen all the time. You know, you've got Randy Orton now. You got John Cena out. Like Bayley maybe out as well. Daniel Bryan retiring, Edge retiring. I mean, you look at the last 5 years, a litany of people retiring due to injuries and, you know, people out for months and months and months at a time due to just not being able to go anymore. They just, you know, their body shut down. So, just, man, wrestlers work hard.
Yeah.
Wait, Tavis,
you got,
go to school.
Yeah, JR. What a
punk ass I am.
You got some idiot sitting at home saying, oh, he knows how to fall.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's true. I mean,
I still love that line.
No, but it's the truth. I mean, it's like when it's the reason why I would rather have the NFL Sunday ticket than go to a bar and watch a game. Because
absolutely,
I'd rather be able to watch the game and enjoy it than hearing some idiot behind me telling me and everybody around them what the what the coach should do. Like,
and how good they were when they played football in Pop Warner.
You know, or like, oh, you're not supposed to run there. Oh, you're like, why don't you pass? Oh, how can you not make that catch? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I absolutely detest armchair quarterbacks. And that's what a lot of wrestling fans find themselves to be. But the problem, of course, being is wrestling fans are, it's a never-ending thing. You watch so much wrestling that it's like reading a book. If I read a book on thermodynamics 500 times, chances are there's something in that book that's going to stick in my head, and I'm going to have some sort of knowledge about thermodynamics. So if with wrestling, when you're watching, you know, 12, 13 pay-per-views a year, 50 episodes of Raw a year, you do that for 25 years, you're probably going to have some sort of insight into what you think should happen. That's why how this radio show is born. because we love talking about wrestling. We like discussing what we wish would happen. And we just happen to do it in a way that you get to listen to it. And we always urge, if you don't agree with us, make sure you call. Danny, give him that number.
646-564-9866.
Exactly. Or you put us on your downloads, and if you hear something that you don't like, you put that on the old Twitter and tweet it at Midcard All-Stars about how you disagree with what we were saying. And we like that. But the biggest part about it is not sucking the magic out of it, not ruining the fun for other people. And that seems to be, you know, the cool thing to do now, because the internet, you know, you know things before they happen, and you kind of just want to take the piss out of it before anybody gets to enjoy the product. And that's just a bummer to me, because wrestling is given me so much over the years, and I hate people that try to ruin it.
I totally agree with you, 100%.
Stupid wrestling fans being a-holes.
I hate a-hole.
So you know who got a clean win tonight? Well, not clean, but sort of clean. Emma getting the old 1-2-3 over Becky Lynch tonight with a thumb in the eye. Dirtiest player in the game.
Watch out for those thumbs.
There was no, the Emma stretch or whatever she called it, which I think is a sweet-looking submission. But I like that pretty much every female in the division has a submission hold. Tonight, Emma just leveled Becky Lynch with a Michinoku driver. It was awesome.
She did.
She didn't do the Taka Michinoku, like, you remember that thing that he used to do before he did the Michinoku driver? Where he'd start stomping his ass around the ring?
Yep. She didn't do that.
Ridiculous. She didn't do that. Somewhere. She just picked her up, scooped her, and dropped her right on her head. Pile drivers are illegal, but Michinoku drivers were still good to go.
That's right. Somewhere,
probably a more
all of Kai and Tai was watching and approved.
Well, you can't choppy Becky Lynch because she don't have one of those. Sorry, guys.
I would hope not.
Speaking of Kai and Tai, we got a rare Funaki appearance yesterday, part of the Japanese team.
Indeed.
Awesome. Man, listening to Funaki do like when he does coverage for New Japan, it's just a delight.
Yeah, I do like him, actually. I think it's...
Big fan for Ducky.
Yeah.
But Emma gets the win tonight.
Super intelligent guy, too, when it comes to the business.
What do you think about Becky Lynch losing, though, tonight? What do you think that does to her?
Considering that it wasn't a clean loss, and it was to someone like Emma, I don't think that that hurts her as much as Paige losing to Summer Rae a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that did happen. We haven't seen Paige on TV in a fortnight.
Yeah, I don't know where she is. I mean, she was supposed to be here tonight and watch Raw, but she didn't call back either.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what happened. You live out, for those of you that don't know, Danny lives out in BFE, so there's almost no chance that anybody would probably, I wouldn't, I'm not driving, and I live probably 40 minutes away from him, so it's not happening, sorry. But
I don't want to drive out to see me.
Yeah, it's brutal. So tonight we got to see the end of the Ambrose Asylum. Dean Ambrose's special guest was Stephanie McMahon.
Rest in peace, Mitch.
Sorry. Well, God, the most important member of the show is gone now. But he asked sort of the hard-hitting questions. He's like, you know, you're taking this way too easily, that all your power has been removed from you, and you know, you're with your brother now, and it seems like you're supporting him, but, you know, this isn't the Stephanie that I know. This isn't the vindictive, power-mad, you know, violent, angry woman that has been terrorizing us on Raw for the last, you know, X amount of time. And, you know, that has to sting that Shane's been gone for, you know, 7 years, and he comes back, and they love him, but they still hate you, even though you've been here working your ass off the whole time. And she goes, well, you know, it does sting, like, your show is canceled. How's that sound? And she goes to bring back the highlight reel with Chris Jericho. And things, of course, break down, and Chris Jericho hits Ambrose with Codebreaker. But the devious act that he does, the dastardly deed, is he destroys Mitch to the potted plant.
I can't even talk about it anymore. I'm distraught.
Can you make, you know, you're good at making pictures. Make a picture of Mitch and send it to Dean Ambrose, please.
I shall.
Okay.
It'll be on our Instagram page at Midcard All Stars. Just gonna throw that out there.
It'll say, like, yeah. Mitch 2016 to 2016, you know. Maybe put some music to it, you know, a little In the Arms of the Angels.
Let's do it.
That's beautiful. Rest in peace, Mitch. You were a great potted plant. So afterwards, we moved into a surprisingly, and I don't know, I don't want to say accidentally, but surprisingly entertaining battle royale between members of the New Era, and I'm just going to keep referring to them as that, members of the New Era versus members of the Old Era. And we had big names in there. We got, you know, Titus. We had Victor. Apollo Crews in this. So, you know, you see Apollo in there, you're thinking, man, that's got to be, you know, a name that could come out and win this. We've got Ziggler. We've got the members of the former League of Nations. They, by the way, they broke up, and if you didn't know that, I'm sorry, but they don't anymore. They're not real.
The league is finished.
League is finished. So they're no longer a thing anymore. But this matchup was this was actually I thought it was a good battle royal. Usually when you see a lot of these names in here, you know, your Zack Ryders and your Damian Sandow, R.I.P. Damian Sandow, the Get Screwed Over tour continues. But this was actually very entertaining. You wouldn't know it, but Kalisto was on commentary. He said six words. All of them were, I can, you know, it's a great honor to be your champion. It's a great challenge.
He said Eddie Guerrero.
What?
He said Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie?
And JBL. And Harley Race.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
Add those to the tally, buddy.
But, you know, we saw early eliminations. We saw Dolph Ziggler eliminate Baron Corbin. So already I'm confused. I'm like, what? Then we see Apollo Crews get eliminated. So smiling black guy, one of my favorite people in wrestling, just gets eliminated. And nothing special for Crews, which I thought that would have been a great and very interesting way to sort of bring Crews to that early prominence, or Baron Corbin. I thought one of them was going to win this. I thought the League of Nations was going to kind of cannibalize themselves in the early part of the match, and you were going to see somebody different when you – I thought, really, you were going to see somebody like Apollo Crews or Baron Corbin win this,
yep.
And they both got eliminated very early. It comes down in the end to Rusev and Zack Ryder. The crowd is losing their mind because we think, oh, my God, Zack Ryder is going to win. Today is Christmas. And a part of me, I was like – man, I'm such an idiot for being upset about him losing the Intercontinental Championship. Like, they had a plan all along. It was to put him in this position, and like, he'll wrestle Kalisto and he'll win the U.S. Championship, and that'll be a big thing for Zack Ryder. And the League of Nations can interfeud with itself, you know, like Sheamus can wrestle Del Rio can wrestle Rusev, and they can kind of come to a conclusion with that. But no, Rusev eliminates Zack Ryder. And he is the number one contender for a belt that he held for almost a year.
I'm okay with him winning, honestly, because he needed something. You don't go from – and we say this all the time. You don't go from entering WrestleMania 31 riding a friggin' tank.
Yep.
And having almost an entire year-long feud with John Cena – to absolutely nothing because your girlfriend had to post a picture of her engagement ring. You know, like, I get it. Like, it broke the storyline, but that storyline was awful anyway. Like, I got tired of watching Dolph Ziggler and Lana make out on the top of the stage. I'm sure Rusev was tired of that as well, professional
probably
or not.
Probably wasn't a fan. Probably didn't enjoy it very much. No, I agree with you, though. I mean, I think this is good. If they really did have the inclination to push Lana more like they were talking about doing last year, then I think that is a great thing for both of them. It'll get her more television time. It'll get him, you know, possibly in a little bit more prominence. I like Kalisto as U.S. champion. I just don't feel like he's pulling it off. Like when he beat Del Rio at Royal Rumble, I mean, you got to look at this. Like, Kalisto is a two-time U.S. champion, and he's held that belt for 4 months now, almost.
Right. I don't know.
Like,
I don't know if it's him though, or if it's just the feuds that he's in are just awful.
Well, he's not like, a feud. Ryback is terrible. I respect you, but I'm going to beat you. Okay, that's right. Not a feud. Like, there's no, this isn't like Del Rio Mysterio where, you know, he's, you know, beating the living hell out of him every week and he's, you know, putting him, throwing his body as a statue or stretcher into a pole. You know, like, that was a feud, damn it. But I'm just not seeing it with Kalisto. And his promo work is very, very difficult to get past. And I would just like to see something done with him down the line that is going to be a little bit more befitting of where he needs to be. I know kids love masks, and I know they want to have a lot of kids wearing masks, but and Kalisto is the way to do it. You just have to do something a little bit different with him, I think. But, yep, so Rusev, moving on.
Moving on up.
So we talked about Little Nature already. We already gave that a little touch-up. But it looks like Natty will be taking her talents to Extreme Rules against Charlotte. Ric Flair will be banned from ringside.
Womp womp.
Sorry, buddy. So we're about to get into the rant portion of this this evening.
Got my popcorn ready. I don't know about you guys.
It's gonna be woven in with the main event. We had AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson. They went up against Roman Reigns and the Usos. This was a three-way. And you know, AJ Styles and Doc and Gallows and Anderson, they get the win, and it came off of a pretty sweet finish. It was nice. You know, Jimmy took a ridiculous, phenomenal forearm, and it looked awesome. And Roman Reigns just got obliterated on the outside of the ring by the killer boot or whatever they're calling it now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like that name.
I don't know. It looks sweet.
The move's phenomenal, but the
boot of doom. That's it. The boot of, by the way, guys, I'm a 30-year-old man, and I just said the boot of doom out loud. Takes the boot of doom.
That might be an audio clip next time.
I'm a 30-year-old man, and I just said the boot of doom. Here's my issue now. So the beatdown commences after the match. Gallows and Anderson are just picking apart Roman Reigns. They bring a chair into the ring and they hand it to AJ Styles and they're like, all right, take him out. Like, this is it. If you take out Roman Reigns right now, he's easy pickings at Extreme Rules. And right. You're trying to create the Bullet Club. That's what the end game is. The end game is the Bullet Club or the Bulletproof or whatever the hell they're going to end up calling themselves. That is the end game for this entire thing. So you've got AJ Styles as, like, you know, I'm guessing, presumably, the leader of one of the most feared stables in wrestling history. They are the be-all, end-all in New Japan, the single most important entity in their storytelling when it comes to being a villainous stable. So that's what that's the picture you're trying to paint for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making AJ Styles I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word on there.
I don't know what the word you're going to use is.
It starts with a P and it ends with a Y. And that's what,
fine.
But that's what they're doing to him. Like, I'm going to beat you for your title. I'm going to do it by myself. You got your two friends. Clearly, you know, you're not mad enough at them to, like, tell them to stop beating his ass, but you're mad enough at them to, like, you know, not hit him with the chair. Like, okay, this is the Bullet Club now. When you were over in New Japan, you were hitting somebody with a chair every 5 minutes. The beatdowns were real. The Bullet Club is the NWO. They were the equivalent of the New World Order in New Japan. They were ass kickers. They didn't care about consequences. They held all the championships. They were violent, and they got the job done. So you're telling me that AJ Styles comes over to WWE and automatically, like, loses his genitals. Like, this is if this is storytelling, if this is, like, you know, and every time the same thing has happened week after week, he doesn't deliver the killing blow to Roman Reigns, and then Roman Reigns, John Cena style, hulks up, beats down everybody in the ring, and then lays out AJ Styles. And this time, AJ Styles chased off the Usos with some chairs, put it to the backs a little bit, and then Roman Reigns just obliterates him, just. No sell beat downs the shit out of him.
Yep.
And it's so useless to me. Like, I get it, man. I get that Roman Reigns is, like, the guy. He's the dude that you're strapping your buggy to. Like, I get it. But
it's the same thing every week. I'm not getting the sense of like, oh, wow, this is going to be a cool, new, and different ending. This is Roman Reigns powerbombing AJ Styles through a table the same way that Roman Reigns did it to Triple H a few months ago, the same way that he did it 3 months prior to that. It's the same thing. Eventually, you push Roman Reigns and he snaps and he puts you through a table. Like, we get it. It's great. But it's very lazy when it comes to creating a, you know, a dynamic that the fans can grab and touch and that they're interested in. The reason people want AJ Styles to win so badly is not because they love AJ Styles so much. They do. But it's because they don't want Roman Reigns to be the champion. And it's not in, like, the cool kind of heel way that The Rock used to be or that Austin used to be or that Kurt Angle used to be. It's because they're literally like, this is the most boring thing you could possibly do.
Even Cena. Like, they weren't as bored when Cena was champ either.
I never thought it is. I long for John Cena to return. Like, I'm excited. Like, I'm legitimately like, oh boy, here we go. It's coming, man. It's coming. Woo! Like, John Cena is going to come back. Finally, somebody that can out John Cena Roman Reigns. That's John Cena. Like, that's I'm literally excited to see it happen. Because it's so, like, just baffling to me how they utterly refuse to do anything interesting with this guy. Like, if you think, and I'm not saying to be a dick or to be, like, a smarmy asshole fan. I'm saying it because, like, I'm just so beyond disinterested in what they're doing with him that it makes me sad. Like, you have this awesome match that is about to have a sweet ending. You know what? I wanted to see AJ Styles swing that chair, cock it back, and just knock his head off with it. And to say, you know, every time that I tell them not to deliver that killing blow to you, like, it backfires in my face. You're my competition. Why would I not want to put you on the shelf? Why would I not want to take that spot over you? And it's like this good guy AJ mentality. Listen, the Bullet Club is going to be over because they're heels and they're cool heels, not because they're going to be good guys. So that mentality of let's preserve AJ Styles' face, you know, his positivity, his refusal to stoop to that level, like, that is going to be it doesn't matter, because unless he's not going to be in the Bullet Club, it doesn't matter. Like, he's going to be a heel to the nth degree no matter what. So unless it's going to be like Finn Balor leading the Bullet Club and them ousting AJ or them costing him the belt and then him going into a feud with Balor or something like that, there is no payoff whatsoever.
There's not. It's
It makes Gallows and Anderson look so bad. Like, you're like, hey, guys, we're bringing in the baddest ass tag team on the planet. We're going to run vignettes. We're going to show you these guys, 3-time New Japan World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. They are the most feared tag team on the planet. We just, you know, picked up the two hottest free agents you could possibly grab. Oh, by the way, here's Roman Reigns coming to every week for 3 weeks. Oh, let's do it at the pay-per-view, too. Like, when the Outsiders came, what did they do? They held off WCW with baseball bats.
Exactly.
Gallows
and
Anderson can't even get a 2-on-1 beatdown on Roman Reigns. Even John Cena sold beatdowns.
Right.
Like, for as much as we joke about him never, like, you know, always hulking up and winning matches, yeah, that's how he win matches. But in the storytelling aspect of it,
he got beat up.
He always gets his ass beat. Literally, the Raw after WrestleMania every year for 4 years ended with John Cena on his back looking up at the lights. So,
yep.
All right, that's my rant. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed Mid-Card All-Stars Radio for the week, our little hashtag After Raw celebration that we have. We'd like to invite you back next week. We'd like to invite you to make sure you put us on your downloads, put us on your iTunes, put us on your YouTube, your Twitter, your Facebook.
Feedback. We're open.
That's how we're doing.
Constructive criticism, man.
We love it.
Got thick skin.
Except don't make fun of me being bald. If you do that, then the gloves are coming off, and I'll cut a promo on you.
Or his soft buns. We'll talk about that next week, though.
Stay fanatics, folks. Take care.